could have been me. Thank you. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Well, take out your notes. Let's take a look at today's message about believing in the gift. Hey, I believe in God. I believe in miracles. I believe that He has me speaking here at 11 o'clock. You know, on Friday morning, I have been battling laryngitis all week. From Tuesday on. And I've seen two of the best doctors on the island. They've given me shots. They've given me pills. They've given me inhalers. Friday morning when I went to see the doctor, you know what he said to me? Make sure they get a good DVD of the 5 o'clock Saturday night because you won't have your voice come 11 o'clock Sunday morning. Here I am, folks, live and in color. Only by the power of prayer. I tell you, I've had people praying for me, and to stand here right now is a miracle. So let's get on with it. Hey, post-Thanksgiving season, what does that mean? Christmas sales, right? Turkey's done. Now's the time to go shopping, and it's a time of year that women have been just waiting for all year long. You've been just dying for this moment. I mean, it's a time of year that women turn into mall maniacs. And to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning on a day that you could have been sleeping in to go shopping at 5 a.m., that is completely nuts. But you guys do it. I've seen you. Because I was at the doctor's office. I saw the line of cars getting into Ala Moana Center. But it's a time of year that, you know, husbands, we get knocked on the side of the head and we don't even know what hit us until we see the bill. It's a time of year when marketers and advertisers, they don't even help us guys out. You know why? Because they put out even more advertisements and websites. They have top 10 lists of websites now. You know, I found a top 10 list for things to buy a woman in your life. And if you're a guy and you need to buy a gift for a woman, I can save you the trouble. Don't read it. Just remember two words. Bling, bling. That's all you got to remember. That's all women want for Christmas. Bling, bling. If you got a child and you want to buy a gift for a kid, remember one word. Anything. In a couple of days, they're going to toss it aside anyway. They won't even matter. But, you know, it's a time of year that we get so caught up in trying to figure out what we're going to buy. The hardest gift to buy, the hardest person to buy for is my wife. Because I've bought things for her and she would return it. I would buy things a different size. I try and, you know, make her feel good and she would return it. And every time she'd return a gift, this year I said to her, honey, what is it that you want? What is the gift that I can buy for you that you're going to just feel so good about? What is the best gift that I can ever give you this Christmas? She hugged me and she said, you know, since we've adopted Jared, I don't need anything more. You will be my forever gift. And I thought, yes, no more shopping for me, man. I don't need to go shopping. That's it. Forever. It's done. But then she had to ask me the inevitable question. What is it that I should buy for you for Christmas? Now, I'm thinking epoxy surfboard, you know, big screen TV. But with a question like that, what did I have to answer her? Nothing. You'll be my forever gift. Oh, gosh. I won't get another gift as long as I live. You know, we get so caught up in the frenzy of the marketing and the advertisements and the commercialism of Christmas. And we always ask ourselves, what do I buy? What should we buy each other? And we overlook the most precious gift of all that we already have. God has given us Jesus Christ. That is a great gift. That is a precious gift. That is the most precious gift. But God has also given us each other. Would you write that in your notes? God's gift to us is one another. And we overlook it in the Christmas season. You know, we read in our devotions, Matthew 22, where a lawyer comes up to the Lord. And this guy was a student of the law. He read the laws. He was part of the Pharisees. And he knew everything that God had said as to what we should follow. And this lawyer comes up and he tries to trick Jesus. And I just crackle every time I look at a lawyer asking another stupid, dumb question to Jesus. And so he asked Jesus, he says, what is the greatest commandment? He says, tell me, Lord, I mean, if you're this teacher, what is the greatest commandment? See, the Pharisees were more interested in categorizing God's laws. They wanted to know what was the greatest, what were the greatest laws, what were like the medium laws, and what were like the laws. Yeah, okay, we'll get by with those. They categorized them because they figured if we can obey the greatest laws, then that'll be okay. We can get by with the others. And we'll build a relationship with God based on that. Now, Jesus does a comeback. And whenever Jesus responds, I love reading his responses. He said, the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor. In other words, love God, that's the great commandment, but I'm going to stick this next one right next to it. It's not going to fall in any order. We're going to stick it right next to it. The second is like unto it. And upon these two hang all the laws and the prophets. In other words, if you can follow these two, everything else in your life will take care of itself. Love God, love one another. And so if we're going to think of a great gift to give God, what do we want to do? We want to give him all of our love, heart, mind, and soul, unconditionally. Everything we got, we give to God. But never forget one another. That we love another the same way we love God. Unconditionally, no strings attached. That's the greatest gift that we can give. Easy to do, yeah? No, it's not easy to do. I mean, how do you love a guy who just gets on your nerves all the time? How do you love someone who takes a hard stance on a moral issue that is so against what you believe in? It is so tough to love one another. And I think maybe that's why we go to the malls and we spend the extra time and the effort and the resources to buy these gifts so that we can wrap them up in this nice gift wrapping, pretty little ribbon, and we can exchange it to someone else as an expression of love, but it really contains a substitute for what God really wants us to give away. See, God wants us to take this deep, abiding, unconditional love that we receive from him. He loves us unconditionally. He wants us to take that gift and then exchange that and give it away to someone else. He knows that we struggle with this. He really does. He knows that we're not built like this. That's why he gives us a reminder in 1 John. Let's read 1 John chapter 4. Top of your notes, read that with me. Ready? Go. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Notice that it says command. Would you underline that phrase, this commandment we have from him? You know, it says a commandment. Because God knows that's not our inclination. We're not naturally inclined to love one another. That's not our bent. Naturally, we're into our own self. We are. As much as we may think we like to do things for people, we are all about ourselves. That's our natural inclination. And so God has to give us a commandment to love one another. He has to give us reminders. You look throughout the Gospels again and again and again. He says, and I say again, love one another. Love your neighbor. Lay yourself down as a sacrifice for one another. He gives us reminders, again, because he knows that we are just not like that. And it's difficult for us to do, to extend this kind of love, unconditional love, to each other. And so in this kind of a season, and I thought, you know, before we get into the Christmas frenzy, hey, let's just remind ourselves. Let's remind ourselves. The question isn't what gift do I buy for another? The question is how can I now demonstrate this love, this unconditional love to one another? To do it in such a way that it's going to honor God. Well, to do that, number one in your notes, would you write this in? Love is spelled T-I-M-E. T-I-M-E. You know, to love requires a sacrifice. And Jesus doesn't just speak these principles. He actually demonstrated it in his own life. Read with me what 1 John 3:16 says. Ready? Go. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. You see, we're called upon to sacrifice something, sacrifice ourselves. And a sacrifice really isn't a sacrifice unless it's something valuable to us. Isn't that right? And I think when I look around and the more and more I think about life today, the most valuable thing that we possess that we need to sacrifice is our time. We don't just have enough time today, do we? We don't have enough time for ourselves, let alone sacrifice and give it away to someone else. You know, we get so caught up in life. We get so caught up in the busyness of life. We get so caught up running this rat race of life. Someone once said, you know, if you're in the rat race of life, it doesn't matter how fast you run the race, in the end you'll still be a rat unless you choose to get out of the race. See, we get so caught up in just being in a world where we want people to be accessible to us so we can run this race faster. And so rather than waiting until you get home so you can answer the telephone, we have what's called what? Cell phones now that follow us all over the place. Rather than putting an envelope, a letter in an envelope and waiting 3 days for delivery, we have what? Instant messaging, email. We have the internet. We have cell phones with the internet connected. We have cell phones where you can answer the emails. We have cell phones that we hang on to even in service so someone can call us while we're in service when we should be paying attention to the message. You know, we're trying to be so accessible in life. But it's so ironic, isn't it, that we're so inaccessible to the meaningful things in life. And that is a relationship where it's built upon deep, abiding love, unconditional love. And you know why we're so inaccessible to that? Because that takes time. It takes time to build a relationship like that, and we just don't have the time. You know, let me just talk to the men. I'm not just picking on you because I've been there and I still fall in these areas. You know, we of all spend a lot of time, and I'm not talking about needlessly wasted time. We're pursuing careers. We are just, by nature, goal-oriented. We're mission-minded. We have our hearts set on achievement and promotions. See, because somewhere along the line, we were fed this lie that if you go to college, you get a good degree, you get a good job, and you work hard. And you work hard so that you can bring home the money. And you can bring home the bacon for your family. We've been told this lie that if you do all of that, your families will be fine. They'll be secure. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Because as we were working hard and spending our time doing everything we were taught to do, we failed to give our families the very thing that they needed, our time. You know how I know that? Look at the divorce rates. Look at the statistics of dysfunctional families in this world today. There was a study done in 2005, just last year, how we spend our time, an average guy or an average person. We spend 8.5 hours sleeping, unless, of course, the next day is Christmas sales day. We spend 8 to 9 hours working, and that includes your commute time. We spend 2.6 hours watching TV. You know how much time we spend with our kids? On the average, a parent, a couple, will spend 1/2 hour a day with their kids. That's 1/2 hour. When you think about getting them up in the morning, getting them ready for school, spending time in the evening with them, it's only 1/2 hour of time. Guys, you know how much time we spend with our kids? 15 minutes. And that may be going to a soccer practice. That may be picking them up from school. That may be doing something with them. But just 15 minutes. And of that 15 minutes of time, I'm wondering how much of that time are we actually truly engaged with our children? Are we truly engaged with the person that we love? The person that God has already put in our midst? You see, we don't have time. And it's not that we don't have time. We just don't make time. Because we don't see the value in the person that God has blessed us with. You know, when I think about the time that we spend, sometimes we can be doing the right things, or we think it's the right things. We can be couching things in terms of ministry. You know, I look at myself, and as I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking in the mirror. Because I look at myself, and I get so busy, and I get caught up with doing stuff. It's all for ministry. I do my devotions early in the morning, and I try to get that done first thing. But, you know, when I go to work, I love to come home, and I love to just see my son, Jared. He's now been with us 8 months. We adopted him from China. He's 4 years old. And I used to love coming home, and he would be there at the front door, just so happy because daddy's home. And he'd run away, and he'd hide. And he has this thing about, you know, hiding his eyes. And by doing so, he's thinking that he's completely disappeared. So he'll hide like this. But I love that. One day I got home, and he wasn't there. And I looked, and the bedroom door was closed. And I went in, and Joy was getting herself ready to go to bed. Here's Jared sitting on the floor, reading his Bible. He has his picture Bible book that he loves to read. So he's sitting on the floor, and I walk in expecting him to be excited. He looks up at me, and he says, "I'm sorry, I can't play with you now." Thinking, "You little twerp, I waited all day to see you." And he looks at me, and I look at Joy, and she kind of shrugs, and she says, "Jared, Daddy's home." He looks at me again, he says, "I told you, I'm sorry, I can't play with you now." Thinking, where does he get this from? And then I remembered, when I do my devotions, and I get to the point where I'm going to write something in my journal, this is what God is saying, Jared would wake up, he's an early morning riser, jumps on my lap, he'll start playing with my pen, and I'll say to him, "Jared, get away, can't play with you now, I'll do my devotions." And I think, no wonder he's like that. I'm teaching him where I'm spending my time, and it should be with him. You know, doing your devotions is great, and we need to do it. But don't neglect the most precious thing that people around you, people who you love, need the most. That's your time. Because if we don't give that time away now, we will just perpetuate this thing into the next generation, where generation after generation, they're going to follow the same footsteps. And it's going to happen again and again and again. The story, a song that was written in the 1960s. Remember this song, "Cats in the Cradle"? You guys remember that song? Yeah, you guys are old, man. Way back then. It's a song about a dad's relationship with his son. And he writes this. It says, "My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way. But there are planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he said, 'I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you.' And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when. But we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, 'Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw?' I said, 'Not today. I've got a lot to do.' And he said, 'That's okay.' And as he walked away, his smile never dimmed. And he said, 'I'm going to be like him. Yeah, you know I'm going to be like him.' Well, this little boy grows up. He goes to college. He gets married. His father retires. And now the father writes this about his retirement. 'I've long since retired. My son's moved away. Called him up just the other day. I said, "I'd like to see you if you don't mind." He said, "I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. See, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you." And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, son? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. See, if we don't give the most precious gift of all, time, to those who we love, it'll perpetuate itself. Who is it this Christmas that you need to spend some time with? Who is it that you need to spend some time to maybe even just sit and say, "Forgive me for missing out on all these past years"? Who is it that you may be wanting to and desiring to, but never had the courage to? Who is it that you need to sit with and say, "Can I just come back into your life?" So you do that this Christmas. It'll be a gift they will treasure the rest of their lives. Spend the time. Number two, when you talk about love and to understand love, you need to know that love values potential more than performance. See, when we love each other, we don't just see a person's performance. We see an inherent value called potential. And God placed that potential within them. When I look at the story of Peter along the seashore with Jesus, when Jesus had been crucified, Peter has already denied him 3 times. He's gone back to fishing. Jesus was crucified. He rose again. He's now on the seashore, and he meets up with Peter. And 3 times, despite Peter's performance, his past failures, 3 times Jesus says to him, "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? In other words, Jesus looked at Peter and he says, Peter, I am not going to give up on you. Regardless of how you may have performed or failed to perform, I am never going to give up on you because there is inherent potential in you and I see it and I know it. Jesus never looked at performance. He always looked at potential. The Pharisees, on the other hand, performance was everything. It was their measuring rod to determine whether a person was accepted or not. That's why they couldn't figure out when Jesus sat with and ate with the sinners and the prostitutes and the tax collectors, they couldn't figure out why he was doing this. And so they questioned his disciples. And look at what Jesus says. Matthew 9, verses 12 to 13. Read that with me. Ready? Go. It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. See, in the eyes of the Lord, his love was based upon not a person who was perfect, but a person who still had potential in them. And sometimes I think we allow performance to carry too much weight in our lives. And we allow ourselves to judge a person and to allow our love for that person to be consistent with their performance. If they don't perform, well, I don't love them that much. You know, I hear this in marriage counseling all the time. Well, he ain't going to do that for me, then why should I do that for him? You know, when that happens in our relationship, we're actually marrying an expectation rather than true, honest to goodness, unconditional love. When that happens in a relationship, even at work, we are basing our love on that person based upon whether they are going to fulfill our expectation. And then it becomes a tug-of-war relationship. I'll give you what you want if you do what I want. No, you give me what I want, and then I'll give you what you want. And it will constantly pull at each other like this, and we will never come together. We will never begin to express the unconditional love that God wanted for us. And the Lord is saying, no, don't look at performance. Look at potential. God says, look at the other person and value them just as how I value them. Regardless of performance. That's called respect. And that's why we say to our couples and, you know, marriage counseling, don't ever lose respect for one another. Because when you lose respect for one another, it's so easy to walk away from a relationship. Because we don't see them as God sees them anymore. We see them only as somebody that can give us something that we want. And if they're not giving it to us, we walk away from the relationship and we find something else to fulfill those expectations. But God says, no, it's potential, not performance. Well, how do you maintain that respect? How do you continue to look at potential rather than performance? Well, you got to understand that we're all different, aren't we? We're all made differently. We all have different bents. We all have different inclinations that are just natural to us, the way God made us. That's why we can't force someone to change their ways. No, if you think you're going to get married and force this guy to change, forget it. They're made a different way. Men and women alone are made differently. How many guys would say, thank God for that? Yeah, yeah, that we're made differently. But we're all made differently. And so when I see a couple trying to change somebody to their ways, it's not going to work. You got to understand their natural bent. You got to understand their personality, their personal traits, and then see how you can make adjustments towards that. Same with raising kids. That's why in Proverbs 22, God gives us wisdom on how to raise kids. Would you read with me Proverbs 22? Ready? Go. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. That phrase, the way he should go, really means the way that he's bent, his natural inclination. See, therein lies the potential of that child. And so we can't take, say, an athlete as a father. I can't take my son who may be artistically inclined. I can't say to him, you got to play football. No, but dad, hey, I played football. I learned good life lessons from football. We learned teamwork together. I learned respect. You play football. You're going to learn these lessons. He's not going to do it. And even if he does, you're going to kill him doing it. Because that's just not the way that he's bent. You know, I talked about Jared once about dancing. And I talked about how I thought he had his gift of dance in him. You know, I played the drums to lion dance. Dun, dun, dun. Doing the Chinese lion dance, and he got up and he just started dancing. I thought, this kid's got dance in him. That's his gift. And so I signed him up for KK Hip Hop. And faithfully, yeah, every week, faithfully, Joy and I, we take him to KK Hip Hop. All the rehearsals. See, at the end of this dance season, this semester, was going to be Ho'ike, where all the kids come up and they perform the number they've learned in this semester. And I've told everybody that Jared has this gift. And so I'm thinking, now you got to dance. So I take him to the rehearsals. He lines up with the kids. They play the music. And he kind of just stands there and he kind of looks around. I'm thinking, come on, kids, you got that in you. Come on, you got to dance. It turned off the music. I would videotape it. I'd try and practice with him at home. Nothing was ever coming out from him. Well, Hoike was coming up. And about a week or two before that, it was Halloween. And at his school, they had a Halloween party. And part of this party was a game. They would play a music. And you're supposed to dance. The kids were to dance. And when you stop the music, everybody was supposed to stop. And if you keep dancing, then you're out of the game. Well, the teacher got up and she turned on the twist. Come on, baby, let's do the twist. So she's twisting and Jared's looking at her. And his leg starts going like this. And then he gets up and he starts dancing. And I'm thinking, great, the dance is back in him. They stop the music and he's still dancing. So he's out of the game. And I'm thinking, that's okay. The dance is coming out. They played it again and same thing. He danced, shut the music. He kept dancing. He was out again. But I thought, great. It's in him. Hoike night, yeah, it's going to be good. He's going to be good. He's going to dance. Well, come Hoike night, something happened. All the kids came out on stage, and I want to show you a clip of what exactly happened that night. Now, you'll notice who Jared is, because he's the one inspecting the floor, okay? Take a look at this clip, Hoike 2006. My son. All that time, you know. So we run backstage, and he says, Daddy, I did good. I said, yeah, you did great, you know. There is potential in you for something. I don't know what it is, but we're going to find out. Isn't that true, though? As adults, we do the same, though. We have expectations for someone else. We put in the time. We say, we've been married for 20 years now, and I've been waiting for you to do this for me. I've invested so much into your life, and you're still not doing it. And you know what we do? We walk away from that relationship. I gave my time. I've spent so much time raising this guy. I spent so much time picking up his bibbidis and everything. And he does nothing for me in return. Hey, something's wrong there. Wrong focus. It's me, isn't it? It's been on me. You're not performing for me, so I'm checking out. Wrong. God didn't ask us to judge performance. God asked us to love unconditionally, to see the other person just like how the Lord sees them. Value potential, not performance. And finally, number three, when you understand love, you understand that it refuses to regard anyone as a leftover. There are no throwaways in God's eyes. God doesn't make mistakes. We make a lot, but God still sees potential and he doesn't throw us away. I think God takes delight in seeing someone that the world would consider as a throwaway, and they can turn around and he can use them to bring something glorious for the kingdom. I think God loves that. I think he has a great time in heaven when he sees someone who the world would say, no, you're no good. Look at your past. Look at what you've done. No, you can't do that. When the world says that, but yet they turn themselves around because of the Lord and they bring glory to the kingdom. God loves that. In fact, that's what 1 Corinthians says. Read that with me. Ready? Go. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. He did that with Moses. He did that with David. I mean, these guys were throwaways. Moses was a murderer. So was David, adulterer in David. And yet they still were great leaders in the Old Testament Bible. We look at the New Testament. You look at this bunch of 12 ragtag, no name, not ready for primetime players, fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were people the world would not use to change the world for God. but yet Jesus handpicked them. He will use those that God and I'm sorry, those that the world would consider has no business being where they are. If you didn't understand that about the nature of God, if I was to describe to you the leadership of this church, you would be deathly afraid about where we're going here. I mean, you look at the leadership and the management team of this church. We have a Hapa'ole local boy who is in charge of everything, lights, cameras, action here within this auditorium. We have another guy who is Okinawan Portuguese. You saw him here this morning. He was a part of a rock band before, and now he's in charge of equipping our saints for the work of the ministry. We have, remember Captain John Smith? He used to be a Hare Krishna cymbal player. And he's leading our community building groups that builds relationships with one another. And then you have this guy who was a former lawyer and a judge, and he's Pake, and he's charged with making honest business decisions for this church. And we all follow this short little Portuguese guy from Palolo Valley. Not short little Portuguese guy from Palolo. I mean, you tell me, the world would say, that doesn't make sense. And look at what's happened to this church. Look at what's happening to Hawaii. We are starting revival here in the islands because of a group of leaders. Yeah, because of a group of leaders. A group of leaders that the world would never have chosen to do the work of the ministry. But God is having a great time because He loves to see potential being drawn out. He loves to see the foolish shaming the wise. Things that just doesn't make sense. I mean, we see that happening in the Bible where He used a simple shepherd's staff to part the Red Sea. He used a single stone to bring down a giant. He used a little boy with but 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed over 5,000. It doesn't make sense, but to God it does. See, nobody is a throwaway. Nobody is valued any less than 10 in God's eyes. You know how I know that? Because God made every single one of us. And God doesn't make things that are second best. God makes only things that are perfect in His eyes. Read Psalm 139. Ready? Go. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. And we know that. We know that we are so loved by God unconditionally. So the question then is, why not love one another the same way? Why not see each other, not as throwaways, but perfect, just as God is seeing them? See, then you can understand what it means to love and to give away this love. We have a ministry here called Spirit of Aloha. And we've done several projects in the community, but we have a segment of that ministry that's been taken into the public schools. And we have a group that's just so loves cooking that they formed a culinary ministry and has been teaching this art to students here at Farrington High School. We've taken kids that the world would say, you make one more mistake and you're off to the other side. We've taken those kids, and through the ministry of Spirit of Aloha, it's been able to change these kids. It's been able to develop their gifts and their talents. It's been able to transform their lives. I want you to listen to a testimony of a student named Esse and the changes that have happened to him. Take a look at this.
When Esse was starting going to the middle school, I saw a change of his life from there, you know, like he was in trouble, you know, the truth. And I was just hoping that he will change, you know, and turn around and do the right thing.
I wasn't really doing good in school. I flunked in an intermediate A grade, mostly because of gangs and drugs. Peer pressure, and I got held back, so that put me back before my class. So when I came to Farrington, it was in the beginning, it started off good. Then, like coming towards the end of the semesters, started dragging, cutting class. What you do for the gang, you have to do it. But it was mainly stupid reasons, just to try thinking I was cool, and yeah, it wasn't really worth it. That's why this program allowed me to see a lot of things clearer. Okay, boost up my credits. Now I'm graduating with my class, so don't need to worry about flunking. Met Chef, a cool guy, but that guy just helped me out a lot. Taught me how to use the knife. I cook good. I know my recipes, all my seasonings.
Mother's Day, the three mothers, we went around the island and they stayed home, all the boys stayed home. When we came back home, they were preparing dinner for us. And he was, I think he was the main cook that day. He lead everybody to do something for us.
See this excess stuff on your fingers? They put them right here.
You have the knife and the ginger, like you can cut them.
So you can use that to test the oil later on when we're frying it.
Which is really, really nice.
To cater for other people, like New Hope, we also had to cater for the football banquet. And I think coming up this summer, we're going to cook for the basketball girls' banquet. So, yeah, we get to cater, and sometimes we even get tips. And when I graduate, I want to go to college so I can get a teaching degree in music. So, but if that doesn't work out with me, I'll get my own show on Food Network.
I think he knows how to set goals, I think, and strive to attain them. Whereas before, maybe he let other people set his goals for him. He's not afraid to step out and say, this is what I want, and this is what I'm going to do. And at the same time, be a team player.
Joining the football and joining that cooking class makes him really a different person. And I can see that at home because I hear him talk, you know, very matured and helping out at home too.
We want to thank you, Lord, for everything you have
given
us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Look at this world where people dying and killing. And every single day a brother dies it. They say that we winning them, trying to block it out. But yet it's still in my head. I want to cry when I hear another brother is dead. They say that peace is coming, but see the guns that we use. Another weapon of death wounds they used to abuse. Just think about the fighting soldiers up in Iraq. It hurts because we don't have a clue whether they're coming back. Young teens suicidal. And people be dying because another brother stole and shot his dad's rifle. Yeah, and it don't stop. And what was the crew at when the other homie was getting shot? Just stop and look upon the situation. Take a second and think about the problems that we face, son. If you an OG, stand with me and put down your guns and drugs and put up the peace. I'm out. Whatever happened to the good old days? Praise to the Lord and give him praise. Now it's gone, nobody believing. No hope and people grieving. Sweet Lord, help us through. Do all things that you would do. Oh, Lord, help us now. Bring us peace some way, somehow.
As being a teacher, teaching chorus, having a house, having children, a good wife. I just, like, on my spare time, I like to think about my future.
Great kid. He's a great young man because somebody believed in him. I want you to meet Essay as he comes out. Essay? You got dreams for your own TV show, huh? You want to get a house, family, a wife, you get a girlfriend? Not yet, he's available, girls. But all because somebody believed in you and took the time took the time to teach you things of life, but they taught you how to cook too. You think you can cook?
Yeah, I think I can cook.
You think you can cook?
Yeah.
You want to try?
Yeah.
You want to help me do something? You guys want us to cook something for you? Let's see if you can cook. Huh? Let's bring it out here. You know, I hear so much about this guy, and I hear so much about the class, and I want to see if they really teach them how to cook there in that class. Now, a couple of aprons. We got one Iron Chef, the other New Hope. What do you think? You qualify, Iron Chef? Yeah? Good. Take that one. You know, we've been talking about leftovers and talking about nobody is a leftover. Well, we're going to do something here with some leftovers and see what we can create. Get this baby fired up. We good? Because, you know, there's always value in things that we find. You can never overlook anything. And if you do, you miss out on some of the best things in life. Like this, what we have here. You have some bacon. Now, bacon is good. We like to eat it. We like to fry it up. But when you think about it, where does bacon really come from? Yeah, it comes from, you know, this animal, and it hangs around with the hogs all day long. Just hog city. And, you know, I think about bacon. I think about times right after Thanksgiving, we want to kind of lose some weight. Well, this guy's been trying to lose weight all his life, and he can't do it. But it can be used. We're going to use some bacon here. Toss some bacon in. You fry it up. You loose? Huh? You loose now, okay? Good, good, good. And then we're going to add to that. Take some garlic. You guys love garlic? You know, we throw garlic in here, but when you think about garlic, you know, what is garlic? Garlic just stinks. I mean, they stink all day long. The smell doesn't change. And you think about guys, you know guys that are like that? They just stink every place they go. Their language stinks, their attitude stinks, but they're not throwaways. They still have value that God sees. Got garlic in there, you got some bacon, now we got some onions. And you think about an onion, you know, what's involved in an onion's life? Well, they grow on the ground, they are hidden from the sun. You bring them out and they look pretty good if they're whole, but once they get cut, they just make everybody cry wherever they go because they've been cut. Oh, poor thing. And they start crying and everybody else starts crying all around them. And you think you can't use them, but we can use onions, so we'll throw some onions in there. Good guy, look at this. He can cook. This guy can cook. You want to try to flip it around? No? Okay? Okay, that's all right. That's all right. All right. Get it. I don't want leftovers on the floor. That's all right. And then, of course, we got some leftover turkey. Now, we always wonder, what do we do with leftover turkey? You can use leftover turkey. I consider this guy's life. He's been hanging around with the turkeys. He's been a turkey his whole life. People call him turkey. That's what he's known for. Well, we're going to use that as well. And these are just leftovers. These are leftovers that I just found in the refrigerator. You know, Joy doesn't know how to cook. She just goes buying and she shops. And she's hoping one day I'll find these things and I'll make something out of it. So we got some turkey in there. Let's toss in some butter. So you know a good cook because he's sensitive to the heat there. He's watching the heat. Throw some butter in there. And then we're going to take some mushrooms. Now mushrooms, again, it's good and tender. We like to eat mushrooms. But consider where mushrooms have grown. You know where they grow mushrooms? Things that are rotten. It grows in rotten stuff, like rotten tree logs and everything. But mushrooms, there's a life after the rottenness. So we'll toss that in there. Good. Yeah, just get that heat all over that food. And finally, we have something called shrimp. And shrimp, now yes, I know you love shrimp. But I think sometimes we mistake where shrimp came from. And if we really look at where they came from and what they eat, they scavenge the bottom of the sea floor. They eat all the leftover things. But yet when they're done the right way, it creates this perfection of sweetness. Their flavor just bursts in our mouth. A little bit of more oil there. Throw that in there, yeah. It's the last service. We can do whatever we want. They won't know any different. So put that shrimp in there. Good. While he's heating that up, you know, we also got here mushrooms, but we also have some spinach. And this is clean spinach. It's not contaminated. Don't worry. It's all right. We're fine. We're fine. I haven't eaten it yet, but it's fine. I know it's fine. Then we're going to toss in here some balsamic vinegar. Now, balsamic vinegar is actually aged vinegar, which means no matter how old you get, God still can use you, right? That's why God uses Pastor Wayne so much. He loves to use old things. And so we'll toss in some balsamic vinegar in there. Come on, Wayne, spit it out. Spit it out, okay? Get that going. It's a nice aroma. Can you guys smell that? Can you smell that? If you're watching it by either video, internet, or outside screen there, go ahead and scratch the bottom right-hand corner. Go ahead, scratch it. You got to come closer to the screen and you can smell it. Good. Okay, then Essay, we're going to toss that in here. Go ahead and pour that baby in here. Yeah, don't burn me, okay? Toss it in there. Good. Next thing we're going to do is we're going to make like a light, nice sauce for this. So we're going to toss in some butter. Not too much of that. Again, balsamic. And then we're going to pour in some brown sugar. Get a little bit of brown sugar. Get that nice and a little thick. It'll show you just for some flavor. Just kind of stir that around until it gets kind of caramelized and nice and thick there. It's great, great. Now I know that Essay, they tell me not only can you cook, but I know that they said you can rap. You can rap? Okay, what we're going to do is, why don't you rap? Because I can rap too. This is rice paper. And Essay, while you're rapping, I'm going to rap. Okay? Let's give it a try. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yo.
Yo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check.
Check.
Yo. Yeah. Yeah. Take a second, try and pray and thank the Lord up above. Be thankful for what He's given, baby. Show Him some love. You gotta sit and think of the things that He gave us. He brought His Son to die on the cross just to save us. Just look at the world. People dying, people killing. Well, all you gotta do is have a little faith in Him. Just raise your hands and raise it a little higher. When you close your eyes, you can picture the Lord's fire. I'm a soldier of heaven and you know I'm ready to fight. He took me out of the dark and brought me into the light. I pray to the man up above, He set me free. I know when I die, I'll be in heaven eternally. Let Him heal your heart, body, mind, and soul. And I'm hoping and praying that all you people know that if you read your Bible, you pray every day, then you grow, you grow, you grow. Yeah, now put your hands up, put your hands up. Everybody in the church, put your hands up. Yeah, check. Yo, yeah, yo. I'ma love Him each and every day. I'ma love Him each and every way. The Lord is my Savior and I will never stray. Cause when He saved me, man, I felt so strong. He always got my back through the times I did wrong, yo. But sometimes it's too good. And we should do life an example and do all the things that He would. So, as the Pastor Elwin come to do it again. New hope inside the house, let me hear you, amen. Yeah, check, check. Thank you.
Bad, huh? A rap by the rapper. You give another hand to Essay.
Thank you.
Oh, tired already. See what can happen when you take the time and you believe in somebody? When you believe the best in them, not based on past performance or anything that they've done, not based on what they may think is their limitation, is believing in them because God believes in them. Take that time. That's such a special gift you can give away this Christmas season. Can we do that? Would you say amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for this season, a season of celebration, but a season where we will never overlook, Father, the most precious gifts of all. Your Son, Jesus Christ, shines so brightly in our hearts, but also one another that you've surrounded us with. Father, these are lives who you believe that we could pass on the love that we've received from you. You have loved us so unconditionally. You have filled our souls with a love that no one else can match. But Father, we don't want to be cul-de-sacs of this love. Father, we want to give that away. And so in this season of Christmas, as we look at the lights and the gifts and the parties and the get-togethers, Father, may we never overlook the responsibility we have to love one another just as you love us and just as we love you. Help us to walk in these ways. We love you, Father. We praise you. You are a great God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you seal that to your heart? Love on someone as you go. God bless you.